You are listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Kenzie Beard, Christopher Brown, and Kathy Seitz. The producer is Lisa Loving, and our engineer is David Kesters. The interim director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Erin J. Bernard.
And I'm Leslie McLam. Thank you. And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.
Peace, good people. I am your host, Mike Crenshaw, bringing you this bi-weekly segment, News from the Boo. And you know, we usually talk about news from in and around the KBOO community, and oftentimes you'll hear me talking about news that's related to people that I work with in the community, locally and abroad, as well as nationally. I have a very special guest tonight in town from LA. Noura Rahimian is the founder of Culture Fix. She's an artist, an activist, an organizer. Hey, Noura, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm very happy to have you in Portland, and it's you came up here to celebrate your birthday and take some time off. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So, Noura, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what Culture Fix is and the work that you do?
Yeah, so my background was in community organizing for a really long time, and I did peace intervention and gang intervention work, and always coming back to arts and culture as the way to do the work, as the way that we heal communities. And long story short, I ended up in Liberia, met an artist, started managing him, and realized that there were incredible people all around the world who were doing really amazing things, and they didn't know each other.
Right.
And so Culture Fix, we started Culture Fix as a way to connect people to each other, with the idea being, one, that walls and bans and visa requirements can't stop culture.
Okay.
And so creating a way for artists to collaborate to kind of counter these political systems, but also that in collaborating, we can create success in whole new ways.
Wow.
And so we have everything that we need amongst ourselves. So you don't need a label, or you don't need a major cosign, or you don't have to sell your soul. And so Culture Fix is that. It's artists and cultural producers and amazing people around the world who work together to create social impact and also put good art into the world.
Man, that's amazing work. I get, just listening to you describe what you do, I get very inspired and excited. And I feel like, you know, there's other people, like I'm not alone. So that said, I want to ask at the top of our conversation, if people wanted to find out about Culture Fix online, where would they go?
So we're kind of nebulous. The best way is to use hashtag Culture Fix.
Okay.
And also to just connect with me on Twitter and Instagram and socials. It's Noura Rahimian, NouraRahimian.
Okay.
And say hi. And, you know, it really is about the relationships and about connecting. So say hi.
Okay. So there's something about your professional style that is warm. And so sometimes I think it can be confusing working in an industry as a professional and inviting people to connect with you.
Yeah.
And then also maintaining professional boundaries.
Yeah.
So talk about that a little bit.
So I think a lot of our ideas of professionalism come from a very capitalistic white male construct.
Okay.
And so part of the way that I do business is I'm always authentically myself. And that means being emotional and being, you know, putting people first and connecting as humans before anything else. And it's a very conscious way of saying we're not laborers and cogs in this machine, we're people. And it kind of shifts the perspective. Some people don't get it and they check, you know, they try to cross boundaries and be disrespectful, and that's where they get checked. And we have those conversations. But I find that people are really receptive, and I find that people really want a space where they can be human too. And especially I think in arts where you're an artist all the time, and so the pressure to constantly be a performer or to constantly create is so heavy. To say, hold up, let's just say hi, how are you doing, how's your spirit, and then jump into business allows us to do better work together.
Wow, that's incredible. So I want to back up a little bit. At the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned that you'd done gang outreach, and you said, to make a long story short, you wound up in Liberia, okay, West Africa, working with this artist. So can we unpack the story?
Yeah, I love this story. So I was doing, you know, gang intervention work. We were going into prisons and using culture as a way to kind of heal. And I mean, I've seen like grown men on prison yards hold hands and cry, some really powerful stuff, but nobody wanted to fund it. And so they were like, well, you guys are all gang members and you don't have degrees. And I was like, all right, well, I can go get a piece of paper. So I went to grad school. And then the university said, well, you have to go do an internship or sit in summer school. And there was no way I was going to sit in a classroom all summer. So I ended up in Liberia kind of by default. It was the only program the university offered that dealt with youth and conflict. So I went to Liberia, and I had, you know, my whole cohort had these like fancy NGO jobs, and they had cars pick them up and take them from like an air conditioned building to another air conditioned, like super bougie. And the first night I was in Liberia, I was working for a community organization. My supervisor came and was like, yo, we go in a club, let's go. And I was like, all right, cool. But that was really my first introduction into Liberian culture and art and music in that way. And so he was like, well, we're working with this rapper. He's kind of like Tupac. And I was like, yo, y'all can't just call somebody Tupac. That's like, no. But we went and we saw him perform, and he was that guy.
He's that guy. Yeah.
And so the first night I saw him perform, the way that the audience responded to him, whatever he said, they listened to. And something clicked for me in that this is power. And forget anything that like a nonprofit will tell you or your teachers will tell you, people will listen to what this artist is telling you. And so he and I we became friends, and I was essentially peer pressured into managing him. I was like, I'm trying to overthrow capitalism. Like, I don't know anything about music business, but they're like, come on, like, do it. We need you. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm an organizer. And really, managing an artist is not that different from organizing. And I'm good with people, and that relationship-led, human-led kind of approach that I've always had is kind of what worked. And so I became the first manager in Liberia. Wow. And in the 3 years that, his name is Takun Jay, in the 3 years that Takun and I worked together, when I met him, the government had been chasing him to arrest him for the music he'd made. There was no kind of economy around arts and culture, and by the time we were done, we had an endorsement deal with one of the major telecoms. We were partnering with UNICEF. He was an ambassador for the Ministry of Gender. So I guess I was good at it.
Come on, don't be modest now. Sounds like y'all killed that situation.
We did some really cool stuff. We started a music festival. Yeah, no, we did some cool
stuff. I
read
about the festival that so many people wanted to see the festival and be there, that they were standing in the ocean because they couldn't off it.
Yeah.
So it was on the beach is where the festival was?
Yeah, so we did 2 days, and the first day was on this like big soccer field. And that was free and open to everybody. And then the second day we did a paid show on a beach, mm-hmm. and people, they broke down the walls, they were climbing over fences, they were standing in the ocean.
Yeah.
Because they wanted, and it's crazy because when we started, people were like, oh, it can't be done. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right. So we literally did it ourselves. I had no budget, and just off of favors and support and his fans showed up the day of the festival and were nailing the stage together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so again, going back to how important being relationship led is.
Yeah. So you're making me want to ask for anyone out there that might be from Liberia locally, that might be familiar, and this is ringing a bell. What was the name of the festival?
It's the HIPCO Festival.
HIPCO Festival.
Yeah, and okay. HIPCO is the Liberian version of hip hop. It's like their mm-hmm. their version of it.
So when in a second, you brought two songs with you from the artists you work with, Talkin' J.
Mm-hmm.
In a second, I'll ask you to introduce the first song we'll listen to, and will that be an example of HIPCO?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great. And then another question I wanted to ask you, there's two questions. Have you spent time working with artists in other African countries outside of Liberia?
Yeah. So I've worked with artists. So Culture Fix works with artists around the world.
Right.
So I've got artists that we work with in Brazil, in Spain, throughout the Middle East. I work with a lot of Nigerian artists. A lot of Afrobeats artists that are mm-hmm. kind of crossing over now, South Africa.
Okay.
So it really is kind of this global throughout the U.S.
Right. Okay. And then the intersections between what you might have saw, what you might have seen working with youth who have been involved in gang culture in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and then what you might have seen in the streets and in the communities that you were working in Liberia. Is there something to talk about there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the commonality there is when people, and young people especially, feel powerless and disenfranchised, they find ways to regain that power. And I think part of the reason why artists are so powerful is they represent what that power could look like. You know, especially in hip hop, and this is also common in like Afro beats and other kind of genres, this like overnight success, rags to riches, right? Like Jay-Z mm-hmm. is a billionaire now, mm-hmm. which means I can be a billionaire too, right? And so I think having kind of those like artists who tell this story, stand for something, but also push back against systems of power become really important, because it's a way that young people can kind of start to reclaim their own power. In systems where no one pays attention to them and they don't feel like they have opportunity or agency or voice, and the systems are kind of against them.
So, okay, I don't mean to stall. We're going to listen to some music, but you bringing up some good points. And how do we reconcile the contradiction between individuals with big dreams of being a billionaire and actually being critical of capitalism and the way that it can be such a destructive force?
Listen, there's enough money for everyone to be rich and successful. Like, so money is not the problem. What we're talking about is wealth distribution. So when we talk about anti-capitalism, it's not saying don't be successful, right? It's not saying don't be rich even. It's saying, look at where that money comes from, recognize the labor that goes into it, and make sure that you're treating everybody equitably, right? If you're getting paid $1 billion, but your nanny is not, or your sound engineer is not, that's something we need to talk about.
Okay.
And so it's about being more visible about what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And then looking at, do you really need $1 billion? Or maybe that money should go towards something else and we need to redistribute wealth so that we have free education, free healthcare, free public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
That billionaire shouldn't be paying off student loans for people because people should go to school for free.
Come on.
And so really looking at, I think we celebrate individuals and that's a beautiful thing, but it's also covers up the systemic nature of the problem.
Real talk. Do you want to introduce the first song? Should we listen to Justice or They Lied to Us?
Justice.
All right. You want to say a little about it before I press play?
Yeah. So what had happened was while we were in Liberia, Takun was assaulted by a member of the House of Representatives. And he, you know, there's a culture of impunity. And so we tried to push it and, you know, hold him accountable. And it wasn't happening. And so instead of, and what happened, the night that he was punched by this guy, and the moment that the representative recognized that he had hit this rapper and not just somebody that he could just get away with, you could see in his face he had this like, oh my God moment. And so justice was a response to what had happened with the politician and the kind of lack of justice that we were able to get, that nobody was willing to go up against this politician. Yeah, and I have story. I mean, it was crazy. I had to, you know, draw from all my Law and Order, all the Law and Order I had watched, because I was like essentially playing lawyer, trying to like negotiate with these like
big product placement dudes for Law and Order. Well, maybe we can all hear one of the more visceral stories when we come back. But let's check out Justice from Talkin' Jay.
Looking in this view, I hope to see my country better. Ibakobaloba is the message that we offer. Equal right and justice, but my people still suffer. Okay. Using the power to satisfy the desire. Bah. Injustice is all what we can see. Yeah. You're fighting for your justice, but you open to the speed. Because of that, then the common people suffer. The people say not eating happy with the lawmakers.
Lawmakers, they are the lawbreakers. Should we vote for him? What is the lawmaker?
No penalty, but the representative. He can cause any problem and walk with impunity. I say, yo. So where is the justice? They say justice for all and justice for everybody. But once you got no money and your justice gon' be buried, just a lie to us.
See the man over there, see the lady over there. She's fighting for her rights, he's crying for his rights. Justice, justice, justice.
Mama eh, mama eh, mama eh.
Justice for the poor, justice for the streets. Justice for the who? Everybody put your hands up, say justice. Justice, justice.
But I don't know, sir. Yo, sir. I pledge my allegiance to the flag of Liberia. No matter where you from the city to the interior. If justice can be built, if I want things feel.
I'm fine.
No one to trust, the one you just to feel.
Okay.
Hey, if you no help, care, people dying on pills. Injustice to the disabled with the crush. This is sad. If bad, people cry for their life.
Damn it.
Grow on yourself about the rules and regulation.
Okay.
Let justice be done to all, no segregation.
Yes.
Lord, the justice we need in this nation. So where the justice at? No justice for the people, no justice for the musician against the honorable. I say, doing the this, LRP will not at this. Justice, no need for me to duck this. United we stand, divided we fall. But if the justice can be real, then we all gonna fall.
See the man over there, see the lady over there. She's fighting for her rights, he's crying for his rights. Justice, justice, justice.
Mama eh, mama eh, mama eh.
Justice for the poor, justice for the streets. Justice for the who? Everybody put your hands up, say justice, justice, justice.
But I don't know, sir.
Let justice be done to all. Let justice be done to all. Let justice be done to all. Let justice be done to all.
See the man over there, see the lady over there. She's fighting for her rights, he's crying for his rights. Justice, justice, justice.
Mama eh, mama eh, mama eh.
Justice for the poor, justice for the streets. Justice for the who? Everybody put your hands up, say justice, justice, justice.
But I don't know, sir.
That was dope. Man, all right. So tell me something about the, for those of us who don't know, Liberia is a West African country.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who were slaves from the United States who were liberated, okay, and who went back and mm-hmm. became a significant part of the populace. But there, before Liberia was called Liberia, and folks from the United States went back, there were had to be local people there who didn't leave. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And actually, a lot of the free slaves who went back to Liberia, it was part of America being like, we don't want you,
mm-hmm.
go
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
And white Americans continued to rule Liberia, mm-hmm. either directly or indirectly, for a really, really long time.
there was something about the rubber industry, correct?
Yeah, Firestone has a huge plantation out
still.
There.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Talkin' Jay is talking about justice in response to a specific incident, but he's also speaking for common people.
Yeah.
All right, for everybody. Do you want to say a little bit more about some of the experience and the fallout in the aftermath of the incident, or do you want to move on and talk about some other things?
I mean, the truth is we went to some lawyers, we got stalled at every level mm-hmm. of where we went. Lawyers were afraid to take on the case, and it just kind of, there's only, you know, it was little power against a lot of power.
Yeah.
And there were some threat, you know, we were threatened and, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of stuff. And so it kind of went away.
Wow. So one of the things that brought you and I together was what I perceived as an intersection between some of the work that I was doing with African hip hop artists mm-hmm. as part of the African hip hop caravan. That's when I initially reached out to you. I believe there's still something, you know, yet to be seen as far as some type of collaboration.
Absolutely.
Because the work that you do is similar. We do similar work with yep. international artists. I'm curious about your artist being able to tour internationally. I understand that it's harder for some artists in Africa to get visas mm-hmm. and to get out of their home countries. So is that something that you help facilitate?
Yeah, I help artists figure out what market makes most sense for them to go to and then build that. But, you know, I think a lot of people look at the U.S., like the U.S. is their goal to tour in, and that might not be the best market for you. There's artists who are touring, African artists who are touring Africa, who sell out bigger stadiums than some of your favorite U.S. artists.
Okay.
And they're making money and they have endorsements and they have fans and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and they never need to come to America, or
right.
they're touring Europe, or they're, you know,
right.
we forget how big the world is and how many markets exist. The U.S. isn't the holy grail, you know,
right,
it's
right.
not
it's
the
not
only
the center of the
it's
universe.
Not the center of the universe.
Yeah, and I think it, even as much as the U.S. has been central to politics and culture, and the economy of really the earth, I think we're also witnessing in our lifetimes that amount of influence is diminishing.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of possibilities that exist that we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say, like, we look at Nigeria has Afrobeats.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why Afrobeats has been so successful is because they very explicitly kind of said, we're going to play Nigerian music.
Mm-hmm. And now, is this a label? Or this is Afrobeats is a genre?
Afrobeats is a genre of music.
Right, right.
It's kind of a modern adaptation of Afrobeat that people like Fela Kuti were doing years
right.
and years ago. And so it's, you know, saying we're not going to do what the Americans are doing. We're going to mm-hmm. do our own thing. And it was when they embraced kind of their unique Nigerian sound that the sound started to get really popular. And then what we saw was American artists wanting to jump on the Afrobeats sound and copy the Afrobeats style.
Right.
And that's where you see people like Drake trying to collaborate and copy people.
So, you know, well, here's an interesting thing, because we could talk about the difference between appreciation and appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that sometimes we borrow and sometimes we steal. I'm not one to tell another person what they are up to. I believe that we have accountability, responsibility to be self-aware as people who are interacting in the marketplace and people who are participating in culture, to be like, yo, I'm not going to steal because I have respect, right?
Right.
Although, you know, cultural influence. So some people who might not be thinking as critically might say, well, people, the only real hip hop is from the East Coast, okay? Or hip hop came from the United States. So then how can African artists call themselves hip hop artists?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that part I have a clear answer to.
Okay.
So hip hop was born in the US, but it wasn't born in a vacuum. So you had Trinidadian influences, you had Puerto Rican influences, you had global influences in the birth of hip hop. So hip hop was born here, but it always had global roots.
Mm.
And then that culture got exported. And what happened was it adapted and evolved in each local space. So hip hop in South Africa is very different than hip hop in the U.S. is very different. The same way hip hop in New York is different than hip hop from L.A. Mm-hmm. So the roots are the same, but it evolves. I think when we talk about appropriation, again, it's a question of labor and power.
Okay.
And if you're benefiting from someone else's oppression, that's not okay. If you're benefiting off of someone else's work, but that's not work that you did, that's not okay. These are questions of power at the end of the day. And that's where I think, but I think also part of it is you might be sensitive and aware of it, but not everyone is as self-reflective.
Well, thanks, but I want to say, like, you know, if I decided, or if one of another artist from the United that was born here was influenced by Afrobeat, you know, we love Fela, mm-hmm. you know, we love Femi Kuti, we love music from Africa, all different kinds of genres, some people in my peer group, right? Mm-hmm. So if we decided we wanted to make a song that had a beat that was reminiscent of the, some of those genres that we're talking about, then would we be appropriating that, or would we be influencing? Would we be artists who are influenced by something that is coming full circle? Because you said, you know, hip hop wasn't born in a vacuum,
mm-hmm.
and so the influence that hip hop has had on our brothers and sisters on the continent, right? That's helped them combine some of their traditional genres with hip hop is now in turn having influence on the West again, right?
Right. I think it's a dialogue, right? Mm-hmm. Especially as we're talking about communities in diaspora, right? These are artists who live in multiple worlds. So their right. music reflects the multiple worlds that they live in. If you're going to do an Afrobeat song, let's say, for example, are you going to listen to someone's song and then copy it? Or are you going to reach out to an Afrobeat producer? So now that person's labor is included in your project.
Right.
Right. And how much are you copying, and how much are you adding your own analysis or your own voice or your own perspective?
Mm-hmm.
And that's different. Right. Then that becomes a continuation of the conversation rather than copying and pasting
right.
all the work that others have done.
So we've got it's been great talking to you. First of all, we've got about 4 minutes left. Do you want to go out with They Lied to Us, or do you want to keep having this conversation that seems to be...
I like talking.
Let's talk. So we said, I said, you know, when I reached out, I said art, culture, politics, and you said, ooh, politics. So there's some political consciousness to the conversation that we're having.
Yeah.
And where do you see, based on your perspective, your analysis, where do you see us heading?
You know, I think there's a greater urgency that people are feeling. Mm. I think we're more willing to step up and do things, but I also think there's a burnout and people are tired. And I think it's now is really the time for people who consider themselves allies to step up and take action. It's not enough to talk a talk about, oh, we need change, or activism, social change is about the risks that you're willing to take. And those risks have to be proportional to the level of power and privilege that you have. And so if we're looking at how are we going to change things, like what are the outcomes, how are we going to make things better, people have to be willing to take actions and take risks. And maybe that means giving up some of the power or privilege that they have, but nothing's going to change without that.
Can you give me an example of how that is might have manifested in your life?
I mean, I think for me, it's people who consciously think about gender equity. It's people who say, hey, you know, thanks, white men who say, thanks for inviting me to this panel. I'm going to say no, but you should invite, here are three women of color.
Oh, wow.
Small steps, right? Like what we can do in our close circles is really powerful. So small steps, but things that are actually creating some kind of shift, giving someone an opportunity that they wouldn't have had. A few years ago, we wrote something called The Pact. It's 10 steps of ways that people can support women mm-hmm. in the industry. And it's things like hiring women, giving them platforms, encouraging the work that they do, sharing the work that they do, talking, like things that have tangible outcomes. And that's the thing, is there has to be an outcome or else it doesn't count.
Noura Rahimian, thank you so much for coming down to KBOO.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And if we want to follow you on Twitter, or Instagram or find out about Culture Fix, how do we do it?
At Nora Rahimian, NoraRahimian.
Peace.
Peace.
Cool art, live music, cider, wine, and snacks. Heck yeah.
Come out to KBOO's first ever First Friday Art Walk event on June 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. The First Friday Art Walk is in Portland's vibrant Eastside Arts District and is the gateway into Portland's thriving arts culture, including more than 23 independent galleries.
Start your night off at the KBOO Studios next First Friday, June 7th. KBOO is featuring the work of two brilliant artists, Justin Auld and Amy Kutab. There will be live music, snacks, wine available thanks to Hip Chicks Do Wine, and cider courtesy of Cider Riot.
You will also get a chance to tour our studios. Check out KBOO.fm for more info. That's Friday, June 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. See you there.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Good in the Hood the weekend of June 21st through 23rd at King School Park in Portland. Good in the Hood is a multicultural music, art, and food festival celebrating diversity and connecting people with resources and experience to strengthen the unity in the community.
The Good in the Hood parade will take place Saturday starting at North Williams and North Russell Street at 11 a.m. and KBOO will be broadcasting the festival live on Saturday starting at 2 p.m. and Sunday starting at noon. Again, that's Good in the Hood Friday, June 21st from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, June 22nd from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, June 23rd from noon to 10 p.m. at King School Park in Portland. More information can be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.